The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome to the third episode of Iced Out. My name is Joshua Ragsdale. I am here with my co-host,
Jeff Moran. How you doing?
And our guest today, it's another day of firsts, our first professional hockey player.
How we doing? Jeremy Hanna here.
Yeah, so we're excited to have you on the podcast today. We're doing it a little bit differently today. There is no in-person interview or anything like that. We're all on Zoom because
COVID rules.
Yeah. Yep. Jeff is in, you're in Maryland, right?
Yeah, back up in Maryland. Waiting on tomorrow because I graduate finally.
It's been a long time coming. Yep.
Thanks.
So. And Jeremy, you've had a pretty eventful last couple of weeks with moving around and stuff, right?
Yeah, I left. Today is my last day of isolation. I left 2 weeks ago to come back home for Canada because my season's on pause. It's getting used to the time change and being stuck. I'm stuck in my basement here. I can't go outside or anything like that because in Canada, it's pretty strict with the rules. If you get not wearing a mask out in public, too, you get a fine. So I'm here isolating. Last day, I made it through. So no COVID either.
It's always a great sign.
Yeah.
So, we'll just start at the basics, I guess. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you first kind of got involved in hockey?
I've been playing for about 20 years. I started playing when I was a little kid, in Canada, every commercial is this hockey and this, and you see it everywhere. And we have a pretty big junior hockey team in the CHL in my town as well. So, hockey was always something that I went to play. I started with skating and playing, learn to skate and stuff like that. And, I just got better and better and I loved it. So kept playing and, played other sports along the way, but none of them kind of took over the interest. Hockey was always my main sport.
Okay. And Canada is a little far away from Alabama, so that was kind of interesting to hear, especially you kind of grew up playing hockey. Did you come to Alabama with the purpose of playing hockey, or was it we've heard some other guys I went to Alabama and for the university and then to play hockey on the side?
I'd say it's a mixture of both. I first moved away when I was 16. I went to play in Ontario and I finished my high school there playing. And then I went to the U.S. to play juniors there. And since I was playing juniors in the U.S., it kind of opened my eyes to the American college experience. And I said, wow, how cool is that? You get to go to a great school and play hockey at the same time. And it's, makes school a little easier. So I started at a NCAA Division III school, small school up in New Hampshire, because I wanted to, play the NCAA and play hockey, but it wasn't for me. It wasn't a good school. It wasn't big enough. You didn't get the real experience. I just found that it wasn't, as motivating, as I thought it was going to be. So I was looking around to move places, and I got in touch with John Bierchin, who was a coach for my first year, the second year of the program was at D1ACHA. And he said, we'd love to have you down on the team in Alabama. And I took a look, one look at the school. I already had some, hints and ideas about it, but I took one look at the school and I was like, absolutely, I'm going to that place. Great education, great athletics, great community, great people. And, on top of that, you get to play hockey wearing the script day. So yeah, it was a no brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. What made you how was the transition from Alabama or from a D3 team up in New Hampshire to Alabama? What was the transition like for you there?
I'd say it's definitely you're at a bigger school. So already you're I'm just a little fish in this giant pond now. But hockey wise, I'd say the transition is you have more of a culture here, whereas as D3 up in New Hampshire was more of like a play hockey. I'm trying to explain that, like more, not serious, but like more intense and not as fun. And where, you know, Alabama, you have the intensity, you still train, you still practice and you do all that stuff, but there's an atmosphere to it, and you're going to a school that also has so much money and students, so they could put more money into the program. So you kind of, it's almost like an NCAA Division I program, the way it's run and the way you're treated, as whereas D3 is, you know, you get your stuff, but it's a smaller school, and it's kind of like, you know, you're like, all right, this is just it. You kind of settle, I feel like. So going to Alabama kind of brought me out of settling and made me do what I wanted to do and go out of my comfort zone. So,
and then I saw that, I don't know if like the Elite Prospects website, you know, I was looking you up at one point just to kind of see like kind of what your history was a little bit. Yeah, I saw that after Alabama for a couple of years, you transferred back up to Canada. Like, was it Moncton?
Yes. Yeah, so
what was the transition like from last year there to up in Canada again?
So going up to Canada was the first time that I played in my hometown in 10 years. So, because I had left way back to play and finish my high school in Ontario. So it was pretty cool homecoming feeling playing for this team, because it's the CIS is the highest level of non-professional hockey in Canada. You know, you either go pro out of junior or you go play CIS, get your education, and some guys go pro after or whatnot. But that skill of hockey is more compared to NCAA Division One. There's a lot of guys that have been drafted to the NHL or played some games at NHL, AHL that end up going to play there. And, you know, it's quite the step up. Whereas, you know, in the States, it's more skill, more kind of finesse, where in Canada, it's, you know, it's that hard old fashioned hockey. So you get the puck, you have, you know, 2-3 seconds with the puck. And if you don't make a play, well, you're getting it taken from you and you keep putting it on your ass. So, but, it was a good transition. As it was nice being in my hometown, playing with some of my friends that were in there last year as well, that I hadn't played with my whole life. And there, it's not that at Alabama you don't get treated very well, which we do for a club program, but here you get treated like a professional, like an athlete. You get, you know, everything covered after the game. You get the certain trainers you need. It's just a whole other level. But, you know, when you have alumni funding and funding money to a program that's going on for years and stuff, it's a lot easier for them to do stuff like that too. So
makes sense. Yeah. And that little bit you talked about, kind of the different play styles, actually leads into another question. You've played in three different countries now. You've played at, it sounds like, four different levels. Yeah. What is it like playing at a professional level now in Sweden? What's the team called? Because I've been saying Lidköping, but I don't know if that's how you correctly pronounce it.
Yeah, it's HTL, so it's Hockey Club Lidköping. They're the way they put the K and the O, it's like almost like kind of sounds.
Lidköping.
Yeah, it's hard to pronounce, and their language is something else too. If you hear it, it's pretty. It just sounds like a lot of rambling on, but. Going over there and playing professional is definitely another step too, you know, because it's run even differently here. You know, it's all men. Everybody's there. They have a contract job. You know, you don't have anything else on the side to do but play hockey, and that's your career. So it's kind of almost like when I was playing junior hockey, where, you know, you don't do much. You just play hockey. But now that you're getting paid for it and stuff like that, it makes it's a lot more fun, a lot more motivating, and you take things a little more serious. And it's fun. And over in Europe, every rink is Olympic size. So you have two size rinks, North American Olympic. So it's much bigger. So the style here is a lot more speed and skill. And they do say about European hockey, there's not much hitting, but it's because it's hard. The ice is so big that guys can skate around and do, you know, they go where they want to. And it's just hard to get that perfect hit or to lay somebody out. I enjoy it. And, you know, being over in Sweden was a good experience, and hopefully things go well this season, and I can get back in January.
Moving over to Sweden, they speak we speak English. So, what have you been learning Swedish? And like, can you communicate with your teammates? Like,
Yeah. I've been learning some. It's pretty, it's, if I, I Google it, it's in the top five or six languages in the world that are hardest to learn. But yeah, I've learned some things, like I can say, hello, how are you? And I can understand a few words, and a lot of words are stolen from French and German. So I'm French as well, so I understand some of that. But yeah, it's when they talk fast and they have like an accent, it's really hard to understand what's going on, and to roll the words too, the way they articulate, it's completely different. It almost, it sounds like prehistoric or something like that. But yeah, it's a tough language, and I'm doing my best, and they teach me. Everybody can speak English. They teach in school there, they teach Swedish and English. It's recommended, like they have to. Required, not recommended. But yeah, so it was a challenge at first, slowly getting used to it, and people appreciate that. So it's, yeah, different.
Does your coach talk to you? Does the coach like call out plays and talk to you guys in English most of the time, or
all Swedish? All Swedish. So I'm starting to learn most of them now. So it's tough, especially in practice. Sometimes they'll be saying something and everybody will skate away, and I'm like, oh, what do I do now? So I have to, you know, I'm usually one who likes going first in the drill, so now I have to go back and watch. Unless he draws it, when you draw something, it's there's, you don't need a language, you just see what he's drawing. But like on the bench, if he's saying stuff like, I know, all right, this lines up or to do this. But mostly at this age now, in this level of hockey, everybody kind of knows what they have to do, and if they make a mistake, they know what's wrong. The coach is kind of there for more guidance. Yeah. And stuff like that.
Yeah. Have you ever had like a moment where, you know, you did something wrong and like a team captain or the coach is just like chewing you out in a language that you don't understand, and then like all of a sudden they kind of realize that like you don't know what they're saying or anything like that? Or
yeah, I had a teammate. Do we have a teammate this year? He's really good player, but he's so competitive that he gets so feisty, and he gets upset. So there's one time that, you know, that maybe I should have passed the puck, maybe I should have passed the puck or whatever. But he got back to the bench and he was saying stuff, yelling in Swedish at me, and I just looked at him. I said, man, it's all right. It's going to be fine. But I had no idea what he was saying, but he was upset. He gets like that, though. That's the type of player he is. And, you know, it's good to see people have drive like that. But it was funny. He just was rambling on. I knew he was saying pass because it sounds similar. I think it's pasa or whatever. So I was like, yeah, I'll pass you the puck next time. Don't worry. But other than that, everybody usually speaks English, and they're pretty nice too. Because when teams bring over Canadians and stuff like that, it's not to just kind of play on the team. It's to make the team be better and do better. So a lot of the guys kind of like that and look up to our style of play.
You're the first player that we've talked to, I think, that was here for Bearshin. Yeah. We've talked to Kalen Briere about the last coach, and we talked to Trey Howes and Kalen Briere about Tesserero. So can you go into a little bit about, you know, Bearshin's style? What was he like, you know, just what made you want to play?
He's a very motivating coach. Very motivating coach. He's always positive. You know, a lot of times when coaches do video, they'll point out, oh, don't be doing this, don't be doing this. Well, he'd point out the, you know, the good things. He would never point out the negatives to show us that we're doing things right all the time. And, you know, it helped. He did a lot. Well, Kyle Richards helped out a lot too, and so did Dron. But you know, we did a lot that first year. It was the second year the program was Division One ACHA. We went into Liberty and played them in their Midnight Madness game, and it was a full rink. That's still my favorite experience of hockey in my lifetime, and we beat them 7-5, and that team was number two in the nation. So, you know, it just goes to show what you can do with the right leadership and, you know, the right guys coaching. I think Bearshin and Richards did a good job with the program and working with what they had to bring the best out of every player.
Okay. Have you like
was Kyle the No, you got it.
Okay. Have you kept in touch with anyone in the program since, you know, you've been?
Yeah, I keep in touch with a lot of them. You know, the hockey team, you always become friends. Everybody becomes such a close group. So yeah, I've kept in touch with almost everybody that I've played with during my time at Alabama. I still talk So some of them, you know, every day, it sucks that the guys that are still there, the ones that I would know, the last ones, Briere, Timmy, Goose, the guys that are on their way out, it sucks that they don't have this season to play. But yeah, we became really close. We're a good group of guys. And yeah, I talked to mostly everybody here and there. And, you know, we all keep up on social media and see what's going on. So yeah, we're a good group.
Yeah. You played with Pierre Ouellette, right?
Yeah, we're from the same place.
Okay. Have you oh really? I didn't realize, like, is it the same hometown?
Same hometown, yeah. We grew up together. Yeah. So, we actually went to daycare together. Pretty cool.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Have you, you know, he's playing professional SPHL too. Have you guys, like, gotten in touch and just kind of, like, exchanged advice, like, pro to pro?
Yeah. He's my best friend. Like I said, we went to daycare together. I played hockey growing up with him. We went to school together. We actually moved away to Ontario at the same time, graduated from the same high school out there, played together. And then after, he kind of took a different route for juniors where he stayed in Canada, and I went to the U.S. And then we both went to a school that we weren't happy to, go to a small NCAA D3 school. And so when I was first talking to you about Alabama, I got Pierre in touch, and he brought Tejo, and it just, that's how it started. But yeah, we talk sometimes. We train in the summers together. I'll go down the ice, and, you know, we talk. We know what to say with each other. It's kind of different too, because we're best friends. So, like, you know, we just kind of more ask how things are going, how's it looking for the team and stuff like that. And it's going to be tough for the SB this year because they're going down to 5 teams, and with a few of the conferences and level up and the East Coast closing down, it's going to send some guys down. And it's going to be tough, a tough league to play in this year, especially with those 5 teams. But I think he said he was heading to camp here shortly because they have their first exhibitions like the 26th or 27th.
I think they open up on the 26th. So
Yeah, so he'd be heading down very shortly. So I was hoping to see him. I'm out tomorrow. Maybe I'll see him before he heads down, because I know their camp starts next week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I think that we're having a little bit of connection issues here because people are jumping around and words are kind of getting stretched out on my end. But
okay, sorry about that. It's the Wi-Fi probably. Canadian Wi-Fi.
I guess what are just some of the small differences, you know, not necessarily hockey related, but just the differences in, you know, living in the United States to Canada to Sweden?
I'd say the U.S. and Canada are pretty similar because, you know, everybody speaks English. You have the same type of restaurants and atmosphere. I mean, there's a few things different. Like, obviously, when you go down to the south, then it starts differentiating from Canada, because I spent a lot of time in New England as well, but it's just similar. But then I find the U.S. is a little more fast-paced, and, you know, people are always doing, and it's very, you know, business-like. Whereas here in Canada, it's a little more laid back, could be because where I'm from too, in the East Coast. But compared to Sweden too, Sweden's is a very different country. They have one of the longest, life succession rate or something like that. So they're very happy people. It's very nice to be there. Everybody's always happy. There's very little crime. No one is stressed out. They make things very, very, very easy for themselves. And it's weird. It's like with Corona, I was there and no one's doing anything much, and Corona is not too bad. It started to spark up again, but people kind of just do their thing and have respect for each other. And, you know, they don't, you know, put all these rules into place and stuff, but it's different without the, you know, you don't know the language, but other than that, you know, it's still another place. It's another country. So I feel like everything has its similarities, but its differences as well.
Yeah. Would you say you're starting to take a liking to Sweden and you see yourself staying there more so at the time than going back to Europe?
I don't know. I think my heart's always in North America. You know, whether it's you know, New England area or the Northeast. East Coast is nice, West Coast too in Canada. But I love it there. It's definitely going to be a place that I'm going to be going to visit a lot now and going back to. I don't know whether I'll be playing again next season or not. I haven't decided. I would like to play some pro for a few years, but, you know, who knows if it's the same team and how that works out, the same country. Maybe I want to travel to a different place. But I like it, and everybody in the community and the organization has been so good. So, yeah, it definitely has a piece of my heart. So I'll be going back there for visits in my future.
Yeah, definitely. Nice.
You know, I guess I'll kind of take it back a couple of years. We've been talking a lot about your pro experience and all that stuff. Well, what was your favorite memory of playing in the Crimson and the Crimson and White?
It's definitely Midnight Madness. It wasn't at home, but it was in Liberty. Just playing a game at midnight was kind of weird too, because we got to the hotel and, like, you know, your nap time is different. You nap till like 6 o'clock, and then you eat. It just felt weird. And then the game finished, it was 3 a.m. But it was just incredible. Like, we got out for a warm up and the rink was already like 3/4 full, and they were booing us. It was so loud. It was hard to warm up because you could barely hear anything. And I was like, all right, this is nice. I like adversity, so it's gonna be a good experience. And then we go out, like after warm up, we go whatever in the locker room, we get our speech, and then we're all fired up to go out. And we get out, and the rink's full at this point. And like, when I thought I couldn't hear something warm up, this was the loudest I've ever heard. I couldn't even hear myself yell to myself if I wanted to. My ears were just ringing shut, and there was all boos in there, like cheering for Liberty. But yeah, then we put up a good match. I think they took us a little lightly, because it was our second year with the program, and, you know, we were still, you know, trying to get new players and develop as a team. But when we started going up on them, you could see the panic and stuff like that. But it was a tight game pretty much the whole way through. So it was fun, because we'd score and it'd get all quiet, and then they'd score and it'd be loud. And even if it's not your, you know, your team cheering when the other team scores, it still, like, it fires you up to go out and get a goal to shut the crowd up. Mm-hmm. I remember they scored 2 to tie the game pretty late in the third, and they were banging on the glass, and the glass panel actually fell out, and it's just plexiglass, so it didn't shatter anything. But yeah, it was just crazy experience, and then we ended up beating them 7-5. And yeah, like I said, best game I've played in ever. Cameras, it was on ESPN. It was something else. Good experience.
That sounds like quite the experience. And
yeah,
you know, Jeff, it kind of goes back to what you said. You always say on the broadcast that the worst lead to have is a 2-goal lead. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we blew a lot of those when we were playing in Alabama, that's for sure. But we did pretty good, and it's when people talk sometimes too, they say oh, club hockey. It's not club hockey, you know. It's people go there and play, and, you know, there's good teams, there's good players, and there's guys from Liberty that are playing in the ECHL, playing over in Europe. There's guys from all over the ECHA playing in Europe. There's a guy in my league that played for Arizona when they were ACHA, they're Division I now, Arizona State. But it's good hockey, and there's some good experiences and good games and good teams. And that's what I tell everybody too, is don't exclude ACHA out of your options. You got to go to an unbelievable school, get a degree that's going to be far more meaning than a lot of schools. And, you know, you just get the real college experience. It's a no-brainer. Mm.
You know, I think I may go ahead and say that we're kind of running a little late on time, unless Jeff, do you have, something you want to close with, or?
No, not really. Just, it's good to see that Alabama program is still going strong, and that there's guys like you and Jeff now that are taking over and doing podcasts. It's just cool. It's good to see the program grow. And hopefully it does grow into becoming a NCAA Division I, and there's an SEC NCAA hockey conference. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the goal, I think. So we'll get there one day. So
yeah. Another place where we can kick Auburn.
Yeah, that'd be good. The more of those that we have, the better, right? So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. So you were listening to Iced Out. My name is Joshua Ragsdale. I was joined by
Jeff Moran.
And Jeremy Hanna. Thanks for having me, guys. It was a great podcast.
Yeah, thanks.
No problem. Yeah, thanks for being on.